pray over the word. Father, we thank you as we are approaching now the word of the Lord at this time in our theatrical presentation tonight, Lord, in this that you have put together for us tonight, in the way in which you have designed to present this message to us tonight. We simply yield to you completely. Holy Spirit, you that searches the mind of God and the secrets, and then you reveal that to us. We depend on you completely and totally tonight for not just me, the speaker, but also for the hearers. And my God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time and space you've called us to. For that we're standing on the border of a move of God. We can sense it in our spirits, Lord, and we see what you're doing to the degree that we can see. Now speak to our hearts, Lord, and reveal yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Now, I'm going to ask for 20 minutes of your time. 20 whole minutes, just 20. So, if by chance, if you're washing dishes or doing laundry, if you're sleepy, whatever you might be doing, getting ready for work tomorrow, whatever it is, I'm going to ask you for 20 minutes of your undivided attention tonight. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service tonight, I believe the Lord's going to talk to us a little more about the group of people that we are specifically called to minister to. Now, it's not the only group, but I believe predominantly that we are called predominantly to a specific group of people. And so I've been, as I've heard of the Lord and been praying about it and asking for confirmation on these types of things, I believe it's been said and confirmed. And so I want to talk to us about it tonight as being led by the Spirit. So Hebrews chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 1 through 6. And I'm going to read from the King James, of course. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Oh, glory to God. Now, on Sunday, we spoke a little, just briefly, concerning this Hebrews chapter 6, but we didn't get into it on Sunday. Now, but I did, however, make a really bold statement on Sunday. Oh, and by the way, let me just sidestep here for a second with my apologies. The message on Sunday did not get recorded. And so that's why it has not been uploaded to the website. However, everyone, to remind you again, as you are, and I'm encouraging you to, and as you are studying the scriptures and the things that we're talking about, the messages are uploaded to our website under the tab Sermon. They are there. But unfortunately, on Sunday, it did not get recorded. So. My apologies for that. So Hebrews chapter 4, I made a bold statement from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. The statement that I made was, you know what? I'm going to go there. You could go with me if you like. Hebrews chapter 3, 18, 19. And it says, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And of course, the writer of Hebrews here is talking about the Israelites, the first generation of Israelites that were supposed to enter into the land of promise, but they got there at the Jordan, and the Lord says, okay, I have given you this land. I have given you this land. This land was that was the representation of the place of rest. God said, I will take care of you in this land. I will provide for you. I will protect you. You in this land, you will come to know your purpose for existing in this land. He said, you're my people, I'm your God. And in this land, that land was to be the land of rest, is where I will take care of you. So, and as we know the story, I'm just going to say, we all know the story. The people said, no, we're not going in. And therefore God in his anger said, okay, then go back to the wilderness, and all of you 20 years old and older, you're going to die in the wilderness. You will not go in, but however, your children will go in. And as we know the story, the second generation of Israelites, those children, along with Joshua and Caleb, did eventually go in and possess the land. Now, the land is a typology. That land in the Old Testament was a place that we could go back and see the symbol of what God was doing and working in the place of redemption. We now know that this rest that the writer of Hebrews is talking about is salvation. The rest is salvation. And so as we entered into salvation or rest, is because we believed in Jesus Christ. We came to faith in Christ. We were born again. We got saved. Salvation. All of what salvation is. We know that Jesus was made for us everything in this place of salvation. Therefore, we have a rest in him. In Christ, we are rested. And therefore, we cease from our own works. Because Christ has done it all for us, we cease from our own works. Now, with that foundation being laid, I want to again reiterate the statement that I made on Sunday. And the statement was this. I said, just as they, the Israelites of old, could not enter into God's rest because of the hardness of their heart, just as they could not enter into their place of rest because of the condition of their hearts, then we, with regenerated hearts, as we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, have been given the gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness, and a brand new heart as we have entered into this place of rest, into salvation, we can never be put out. That was the statement that was made based on Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. They could not enter because of the condition of their heart, but because of the condition of our hearts, we can never be put out. Bold statement, isn't it? I stand behind it by the word of God. And now, let's look at looking at Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to say that, you know, the principle that we rest on, that we rely on, that principle that says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a word be established. You know, it's a biblical principle. How do you establish truth in the word of God? So that Hebrews chapter 4 was the first place it was mentioned. We're going to say that's number one. Now here's number two. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. And all of this will come clear in just a minute of where I'm going with this. Hebrews chapter 6. Let me explain it in the way that I see it. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 is hypothetical. What do I mean by that? Have you ever made a statement or heard a statement? Maybe you were trying to explain something, but you tried to explain it in a way that you said something that was so ridiculous that you knew that couldn't be true. Let me see if I can think of one. Okay, it's not coming to mind right now, but it will. This is going to become clearer as we go along. And so it actually has a name. It's a philosophical way of communicating. And it's in Latin, and I'm not going to try to say it in the Latin way, but in English, it's called a reduction to an absurdity. Again, it's a hypothetical speaking. This writer is doing a hypothetical speaking. He's speaking of something that's so absurd, so ridiculous, you already know it can't be true. Does that make sense? What he's saying is something that is just downright stupid. And you got to be really off your rocker to believe this. This is how he is speaking here. When he says to us, verses 1 through 6, you can't believe that this is true because this is as absurd as anything could ever be. Now, with that in mind, verse 1 says to you and I, the Holy Spirit tonight is speaking to you and I and saying, listen, let us go on to maturity. You and I tonight, we have looked at the foundations and we've walked the fundamentals of the Word of God, and we've been growing up in those fundamentals of the Word of God these four and a half years, about almost 4.5 years, and we have grown through all of the teaching in our community fellowship and the different activities and the studying of the Word and the different prayers, and we are growing up, and now he's saying to us, let us move on. Let us go on to spiritual maturity. And we know that we have acquired, I'm going to say, a level of spiritual maturity over these years. I see it. So I can say unapologetically, we have grown in the spirit. And now we're being encouraged to operate in the maturity in which we have grown to. Let us go on in that maturity that we have grown into. So let me say it here. We have come to a time, safe refuge, as we are going into the time of the doors of the church are open. We are now at a place where, as the Lord spoke to us several Wednesdays, many Wednesdays ago, we're in a place now when we come to church now, instead of coming to church now with a need to receive, we now come to church in a mindset to serve. See, let us go on and operate in this maturity whereby now we recognize that the Lord is calling us now to a place whereby we are no longer the babies that need to be taught, but we are those who can now have been equipped to teach and equipped to serve and equipped to stand in that place where He is calling us as a body. So now let us operate in the maturity in which we have been grown. So let us be clear. That doesn't mean that we don't still need to hear the word. That it doesn't mean that. And that's not what's being said here. It doesn't mean that we don't still need to be fed. That's the truth as long as we live on this earth. That is the truth. The emphasis here, though, is for us to recognize that we've grown up to a place whereby if it's called on you this Sunday or that Sunday or maybe every Sunday for a while to be ones to stand in a place of service, that we recognize that this is the place where we're called to be. I want to go a little further with that to say, as we have accepted this level of spiritual maturity where we now come to church with a different mindset, not just to receive, but we're also now prepared to give out of what we've already received. We also know that as we are serving, then we are being ministered to, such as we ourselves still have some stuff that we're dealing with. You know, and that's going to be true as long as we are alive. Even as we have grown in our understanding of whatever, let's say, emotional issues or issues of the attitude, or even maybe some habits or whatever those things are that we have grown up in an understanding, and we're walking at a level of victory in those. Please understand that now God is calling on you and I to be ministers of those things. As he has healed you in your emotional woundedness, he is calling you to now minister to those of emotional woundedness. As he has healed your body, as he has healed your finances, as he has taught you his faithfulness, now it's time for us to minister that he's given us to them. Freely you have received, freely give. See? And so, again, the recognizing of us standing in the spiritual maturity is to recognize that we too are still growing in those things. We're not perfect yet. God is not calling our perfection to minister. He's calling what he's already done in us, what is real in us already, to minister to those who are standing at the door. Glory to God. And so that we don't shrink back, and that we don't feel like I'm not ready, or I'm not good enough, or I don't know this enough. Oh no, what you do know is enough right now, so that you can stand in the place to minister to those who have been waiting for us to be ready. Those standing at the door. Now, I'm going to give an identification to those predominantly standing at the door in just a few minutes, but let me go through this first. And so again, through the writer of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit is telling us this. All of the foundations of Christianity, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, eternal judgment. Those things are the fundamentals in which we have been growing up in, not just these 4 years, but all our whole Christian lives. We've been growing up in those things. And so we know them to the degree that we know them. Now watch this though. Verse 4. All right. Verse 4 says this, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, meaning the powers to come in the next world, such as spiritual powers, let's just put it that way. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Now I'm going to tell you this. It has been taught and still being taught that what the Bible is saying here, that those of us who have been saved And we changed our minds for whatever the reason, and we're no longer saved, and we turned away from God, and what we call the term we call backslidden, apostasy, backslidden. And some teach that what the Bible is saying here is if you are one of those people, then there is no more repentance for you. So, and over the years, I don't know, some of you may have heard it too. We get the teaching, we've heard it taught that, yeah, well, if you turn away from God, he mad at you, he don't have nothing else to do with you, you know, you just going to hell, you know. We've heard that taught, and many believe that. And we've heard it taught, this other part that says, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And so, oh, you're going back into the world, and now all the people around you, you're shaming God, and you're shaming Jesus, and now, you know, you're making them be a worse sinner, or now they can't believe God because of what you've done. We've heard that taught, and some believe that. Bless their hearts. But if we look at salvation as a whole, it is the gift of God. You have been made righteous. We have been given a new heart. When you look at salvation as a whole, when you look at who God is as a whole, can this be true? If it is interpreted it in that way, can that be true? My heart says no, that cannot be true. It, to me, it goes against everything the Bible teaches about salvation. So again, this writer, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying to us something that is so absurd, so silly, it's so could never happen that you got to know the opposite is true. And what he is actually saying is this. If you should fall away from God, is Jesus Christ going to get back up on the cross? That's what he's saying. Well, how silly is that? That's never going to happen. Isn't it true, 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time? Romans 6:10, when Christ died, he died for sin once for all. Isn't it true that salvation is a gift for us? Isn't that true? So now, I'm going to say this again. I believe strongly, children of God, that we have been called to minister to a people who were once in church, who have been saved, and for whatever their reason, they are no longer living a Christian life. I do believe that that is the predominant demographic that we are to minister to. I do believe that those that are standing at the door, those that the Lord that will bring to us, will predominantly be that group of people. I believe that. I believe that. And I believe very strongly that he has prepared us to be those ready to minister to them, to that group of people. Now, let me go further. If they shall fall away, we said again, we said on Sunday, we also said on Sunday that, as we said, we could never be put out of salvation, but however, we do, however, wrestle, we struggle with that part of ceasing from our own works. And so as we are in salvation, the part that we tend to struggle with, again, is the part that has to grow up in recognizing that It is better for us to be weak than to be strong. It is better for us to recognize what we don't know so that we can learn. The ceasing from our own works is where we struggle. We struggle with doubt. We struggle with fear. We struggle with not knowing. And so in those three categories, and I'm sure there are others, those are the three that I was given: doubt, fear, and not knowing. And as we are struggling in our Christian lives with attaining to understanding who we are in Christ, and we struggle with those things, we can run up against something that can tell you it's just better off if you just go back to the world you had. Though the question, though, is, are they still saved? And I say yes. And I believe the Bible backs that up. They're still saved, but yet and still, as we have come through our growing up to spiritual maturity, and we know that the Lord has healed us from some things that could have, and maybe for some of us did, make us make a decision about our Christian life. There are those, see, that have come to church and they have experienced this phenomenon called church hurt. And they're standing at the door. These are the ones, see, that have experienced this widespread thing called church hurt. They came to church with a certain expectation. That expectation wasn't met there for whatever the reason. And so then they decided this Christian thing is not working, and they went back to the world. And I believe God is calling them back home. And they're not coming back to hear a message that says that you cannot be saved because you made a decision to live a different life. The writer says it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and who were saved, and I'm just paraphrasing now, and who received the Holy Spirit when they gave their lives to Christ and they received the Holy Spirit. And maybe they were babies in Christ, or maybe they walked for a long time with Christ, but again, this thing we call church hurt, it gave them another perspective. It made them feel like maybe I made a wrong decision. Now, there are some that completely walked away from the church, but I also believe that there are those who stayed. I'm still in church, but you know what? My heart don't really, somewhere I don't really believe it totally anymore. I don't believe the gospel totally anymore. I mean, after all, was Jesus, you know, was he really the Son of God? You know, I mean, so I'm not sure that I can truly believe everything in the gospel. And I believe they fall in that same category. It could be that they heard a preaching, a teaching that sent them off the wrong way, or it, you know, the variations of reasons are innumerable, but God is calling them home. And I believe he has set us in a place to minister to them. He wants them to know the street light has come on. It's time you come home. Street light is on. Come on home. And I'm going to send you over there to a people who know, who understand my love, who understand my graciousness, my righteousness, who understand their identity in Christ, so they can teach you. Yeah, come on. It's time for you now. The doors of the church are open. So come on in these doors and bring all your stuff with you. Don't come in hiding. You don't have to come in and make believe that you're super spiritual. You don't have to come in and make believe that you got it all together. Leave that I got it all together mask at home, but come to church, because I'm going to send you to a people who understand. Because we've been there. We can minister from where we have come from. See, we've been there. Anybody been broke? Anybody ever wondered if God's going to come through for you? Anybody you've desired that to have a relationship with your family? Anybody? Anybody divorced? Have you lost a loved one? Do we know what that's like? Don't we understand the graciousness of God, his goodness? Don't we understand his provision? We understand. And what we do understand is that the Lord our God doesn't turn away anyone that comes to him. That's what we know. That's what we know. It's unfortunate that every sentence that you speak, it's got five cuss words in it. But you know what? I understand something. I know that frustration. I know that inability, that feeling on the inside of you that feel like nobody is listening to you. So therefore, I got to use all these kinds of words. See, come on home. The head of the church is calling them back home. Well, I understand. We get it. I know why you left. We get it. You tried everything. You jumped through all the hoops. You tried to be good enough to deserve God and deserve his love and to be at church and people to accept you. With your tattoos everywhere and your skirt up to over your thigh and your the way you talk and the way you wear your hair, and you wanted somebody to accept you, but they could not. But I'm going to send you to a people who can. A people that will love you because they've been loved in their worst times. Those people. The people who haven't forgotten where I brought them from, I'm going to send you. They've been standing at the door waiting for us to come in. A people that God has taught that we know that we are in Christ. And without him, we're nothing. Without him, we are nothing. We are no more than the filthy one we were before redemption found us. And we'll preach it, and we'll teach it, and we'll demonstrate it. And listen, is it going to be easy? Don't get it twisted. Are we going to need Jesus all along the way? Have you ever run into anybody that got their offenses, their feelings is on their sleeve, and even if you look at them for longer than 3 seconds, they think something wrong with you, and they ready to fight you? Where does that come from? A brokenness that we understand. See, God has raised up a people who would depend on God for his joy and for his love and for his patience, for his humility and his long suffering, and for faith and for whatever it is that we need for these that he's calling home. We'll recognize when they walk in the door, we'll say, oh, listen, you may not know it, but I know God loves you. He's been after you from the time you left the church. He never left you and he never will. See, God is calling us to know and believe and to demonstrate those days when we thought we knew we needed to pray, but I can't find the words for it. Those days. God is calling a people that can minister to a people who have a substance that's always calling their names. They can't think about anything else except for that drug or except for that thing. God is calling a people that understand that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that his love is greater than that call for you. Oh, but we understand it, though. God has made him a people who won't care that maybe the rest of Christendom don't understand how we do it. They may not understand 30 whole minutes of worship. Come on, guys. What y'all doing over there? They may not understand following the Holy Spirit in service. They may not understand that. The whole, yeah. They don't get it. They may not be able to get it when, you know. Maybe not. But we don't care. We don't care. We're on a mission. And we're on a mission of one that we love so much, we don't care. We don't care what they think. We don't care what they say. We don't care what they call us. We don't care. We've never seen him, the Bible says, and it's so true, but we love him. And even though we've never seen him, we believe him. Oh, yeah. They're talking. That word is talking about us. We found a love that's so true that we don't care. Yet, brothers and sisters, let's be sure. We got to preach the gospel the way the gospel is written. We're not about to give them a fairy tale story. No, come home, bring all your stuff, and be prepared to change. No, yeah, come home, bring your stuff, and we're going to show you how to lay your life down. We're not going to give them a bunch of roses. We're not going to fill their heads with, oh, you know, God got that house for you, and he got that playing for you, and he got that promotion for you, and he does. And I'm not saying we won't say it because it's true, but we got to let them know, though. But you got to die. You got to die, and you got to follow him. See, oh yeah, all of that is for you. We're gonna live on top of the world because Christ. So we're going to preach the gospel as it is written. Because this is what we know. Only God knows the heart of a person. Only God knows if that person is truly saved. Only God knows if they were truly repentant in their heart. Only God knows. He's the only one. He's the judge of the heart, not us. Only God knows. We cannot determine this by what people have done. We can never be the judge. Only God knows. And so therefore we do our part. And our part is to preach the gospel of Christ. And that is, pick up your cross and follow him. And when you do that, when you lose your life, you'll gain it. That's the gospel we will preach to them. And we will not water it down. Hallelujah. Now, let me be clear. I'm not sure. I want to be sure that I said it all. That I've been clear. So let me just summarize real quick. You and I, brothers and sisters, you've been at Safe Refuge Ministries. You've been set up. Yeah, you got set up. You got set up. And so we're here, and he fashioned and he formed us for this mission. And so now we receive by faith that he has given us and made us enough in Christ that we have what we need now to minister to others. And again, I am not saying that we don't get ministered to still. But what we do know is this. When we're laying hands on the sick and you got pain in your body, God got you. See, we've come to a place now where we know God got me. And number two, as they are coming through the doors of the church are open. The street light came on. They coming home now. As they are coming through the door, they're going to look all kinds of ways. They're going to smell all kinds of ways. They're going to be talk all kinds of talk. And we are inviting them. As I'm working with the rebranding team and the media team, the words that we are saying, we are inviting them to come to church and bring all your stuff with you. Bring all your hurts, your frustrations, your failures, your successes, all the things you think you're good at, the things you think you're bad at. Bring all your tears, bring it all. Bring your frustration, bring it all to church, because that's where you belong. That's the message. That's the calling card. That's the one that we're preaching. And when they get here, they'll find the people who are solid in their relationship with God. We'll teach them what we have been taught. Glory to God. All right. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right.